Attendance of the whole, because now one or two tripping in. I'd like to welcome everybody to the meeting tonight. Can you all hear me clearly? You can, yeah? Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Thank you. Everyone should ensure that their mobile phones are either turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile phones and mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except that the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before you speak. The members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make during the meeting. And I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before our council meeting tonight. If you had such an interest, please declare it now or immediately before the item, stating that the item of business it relates to. And having declared the interest, the member should leave the room for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in any vote. Do we have any apologies? I have two from Councillor Stokes and Councillor Owen. Councillor McAvoy. Councillor Gallagher. And Councillor Devlin. Thanks, Troy. Just a few chair's remarks, if you don't mind. We all know that Councillor Gary Stokes' mother passed away after a short illness. And those of some of us who were at the wake maybe couldn't necessarily make the funeral. So our sympathies go with Gary and his family. Also, we have a number of fatalities in a very tragic road accident at Carrigarnon near the Jonesford turnoff. Three people died as a result of that particular tragic accident, a mother and her son and a young adult, all from the Jenner Newry area. So our council would like to take this opportunity to send our sincere sympathies to all of those people who lost their lives, and not forgetting Gary Stokes' family on the death of the mother. Okay. Have we any declarations of interest?
Chair, can I declare an interest in FPNR item 11, planning for the future, on behalf of all senior officers, please?
Thank you very much for that. Lynn?
Chair, on FPNR as well, there, page 6 there, on Council Outbuildings, Council Road, Kilkeel.
Okay, take a note of that. On to item number 3 now, the action sheet. You all have a copy there in front of you. So just go through it for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Are you happy that that's a true accurate record of the... Yes, William?
Yes, and just like there is an issue.
Go ahead.
Chair, page 4. I see action correspondence sent in relation to the Ballinahinch bypass. Have we received a reply yet in relation to that? When there will be a meeting?
No, Chair, we haven't received a reply as yet.
Okay, we'll help you up to move on. Sorry,
Chair, can I just ask one in the back of that? Say we don't get a letter back, how long do we roughly give them to send another reply to? Because they seem to be very slow coming back to it.
My experience so far, since the Assembly's been back up and running, is they have been relatively swift in response to us, but if we don't receive anything within the next fortnight, we'll raise it again.
Sure, just in relation to that, I think we should, because the Member of Parliament for Strangford has asked for a meeting, and we haven't received correspondence back, so we have. So I think this correspondence should become engraved and quick to this council, this organisation.
Yeah, just for my record, can I ask when the letter was sent? There's no date. Because if it was sent, you know, only in the last couple of days, you know, we're making a mountain out of a molehill here, so When
sure, it does only take a while after the council meeting to get the letters all compiled and issued. I couldn't tell you the exact date,
but I remember signing it,
so it could have been done in the last week maybe or so. I don't remember.
Just to put it into perspective, thanks.
Okay, do we need a proposer second with the action sheet? Could we have a proposer for Robert Frank, seconded by Jarrett? On to the minutes of the full council meeting on the 3rd of February. Could we just go through it for accuracy? Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Could we have a proposal and a second for accuracy? Those who are here. Are there any matters arising from that? Any issues concerning us on that one? No? No, thank you. We'll move on then, if that's okay. On to the minutes of the ERT meeting held on the 10th of February. Just get to it again for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, and there's an appeal hearing tailed on the back, which was part of that report as well. So we're happy enough with that. Proposer, Robert. Seconded by Declan.
It's just in relation to the visitor centre workshop that is taking place. I was unable to attend the workshop due to a cousin's funeral taking place that morning of the workshop. I just want reassurance from the director that those that were unable to attend due to personal reasons will be able to feed into that process, because obviously some of the proposals is diluting potentially the Downpatrick Visitor Centre and the experience our visitors have to the town. So can I just have reassurance from the director that councillors will have an opportunity to feed into that process?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I confirm that those who were unable to attend will have an opportunity to be briefed on the outcome of the workshop and for their comments to be taken on board.
Andy?
Thank you, Chair. Just in regards to the 2020 agenda, NI Economic Conference, I was noticed on the agenda paper that there was due to be a keynote speaker, and on account of us agreeing to the lead sponsorship, I was just wondering would it be okay through the director just maybe if councillors are kept informed as to what potential keynote speakers might be available to come to address that conference, given the it's an economic one and one that's going to drive future direction possibly. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, so we'll keep councillors fully aware of who the keynote speakers will be once they're appointed.
Douglas?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yes, just ask members as well to could you come to support the proposition or the proposal that was at our ERT meeting for the Tourism Accommodation Fund. I think it's worthwhile highlighting the importance of this at this meeting. But this is the first time our council has ever brought something like this forward. It's £1 million fund. I think the staff are commended by having the foresight to bring this forward, and that it will highlight the fact that it will be opening very soon, for specifically for hotel development, which very much is the demand and achieving local support, particularly in the Warren Point and Downpatrick areas, for such a fund to open. So the public are ready for this now. For example, Warren Point, we just completed the public relance scheme last year. And so it's all teed up for the like of a grant like this to make a real difference in terms of bringing those towns forward and on. Thank you, Chair.
Very much for that.
Chair, just to echo my comments, I would agree what Declan's saying. This is an innovative approach for the council, and the officers do have to be recognised for this approach. It is about boosting tourism. But it also enables us as a council to attract more events to the area, bigger events to the area. The more hotel accommodation we have, the better. So in relation to job creation also, both in the hotels but also in the construction sector, is a great boost also.
And I think it'll be a good take up on the fund.
Okay, happy enough to move on. We got a proposal for a second, anyway, didn't we? On to the minutes of the FPNR meeting held on the 13th of February. Once again, just go to it for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Could we have a proposer? Proposed Robert for accuracy, proposed by Robert, seconded by Barrow Murray. Any matters arising from it?
Chair, just for accuracy, actually, it's in relation to the response from the Minister of Finance. It seems that we just noted it, but actually in the meeting I highlight a disappointment in his response, so if that could just be added, that Councillor Sharvin was disappointed in the response that the Minister provided to the Council.
Happy enough for that. Thank you. Just move on now. Sorry? Couldn't see the light.
Sorry. Yeah, Charlie, just raise draw people's attention to the Irish Language Bursary Scheme, which was approved at SPNR the last time round. That bursary scheme will actually be opening within the next fortnight or so. There's a breakdown every year of where the Gaeltacht Scholarship bursaries go to and which they come from and that. And we said within the cross-party committee this year that we would make a increased effort to get an even spread across the DEA, so that if all councillors would just be aware that the scheme will be opening. It was planned to be open maybe in around the 14th of March. I'm not sure if that's been agreed. If the so just. Chair, whenever for councillors, just to keep an eye out, it'll be on the council website and it'll be on social media as well.
Thank you very much for that, Barrow. On now to the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities meeting held on the 17th of February. Once again, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. Oh, and there's another piece on it too as well, the inclusive city project. To help enough for accuracy anyway, we need a proposal from Sagan Frank, Sharon McCabot, and John Trainer. Issues arising from it. Do you have anything to say?
Chair, Michael's just going to take the inclusive studies. It's just to get a nomination here tonight.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the AAC committee will recall that at the AAC committee at the beginning of the month, it was agreed that the nomination for a councillor to sit on this group would be made at the council meeting, that the parties would discuss that and agree it here tonight. So the papers in front of you, which sets out that we need to have a councillor and an officer nominated to attend this program that's coming up this month.
Yeah, there's a couple of speakers. On this issue,
yeah.
Pete,
on
yeah,
the Inclusive Cities project,
go ahead,
Chair. I'd like to propose that the strategic lead from the council be the Chair of Council. I think it's important that we send the Chair of Council to us.
Separate item, Chair.
Sure. Go ahead, Chair.
No one else goes to speak. I suppose it's agreement first.
That was proposed by Councillor Burns and seconded by Councillor Clark.
Are you going to speak on it, Willie? No?
No. Is everybody's in agreement then?
Happy after.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Chair, it's just in relation to the financial assistance. Can the Director just confirm that the dates of call 2 and 3 are as suggested in the document, and as speaking to the Assistant Director in relation to this, has the maximum amount per application for individuals been agreed for each thing? If that could be shared, obviously, as soon as possible, so we're aware of what is the limit.
So, through you, Chair. Yes, the answer to both questions is yes, and we can share that with you. I'll make sure that happens tomorrow.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, I have enough to move on. Thank you. On to Neighbourhood Service Committee held on Wednesday, the 19th of February. Once again, this is for accuracy, page 1, page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then the draft planning extracts are on it as well. Okay. Back to the Neighbourhood Service. A proposal and second for accuracy, please. Proposed by Karen, second by Harold. Any issues arising from it? Yes?
It's not really an issue, Chair. It's more just a question and around with regards to the public convenience strategy. Is there priority going to be given to those areas that don't have anything at all? Like, for example, in Coloc, there's no toilets at all, whereas some of them are just being upgraded. So it's just ask that question.
Anybody picking up on go ahead, Roland.
Yes, and that is detailed within the strategy in terms of where the gaps in provision are.
You know for that, Una? On to item number 9, which is the extracts from draft planning committee minutes. You have it that was held in committee. Do you want to say something on that, Marie?
No, it's just
no.
For the accuracy and then...
Well, happy enough to the accuracy, those who are at it. But we have a proposer and a seconder. That's the reflection coming out. Beg your pardon? That's it. Thanks very much for that.
Okay.
Items of information. February Housing Council Bulletin. You're on the Housing Council. Councillor Ron, do you want to speak to that? Yes, Michael.
Yes, Chair. Chair, it's just really a point in relation to the format of the bulletin that we've got. It really, I'm very disappointed in relation to detail. The content in it reads more like an agenda than anything else rather than any outcomes. And given the stark nature of the housing shortage and the housing crisis we have in our city and district, you know, I would like to see more coming out of that. Particularly given the lead that this council has taken in the last 18 months in relation to unanimously supporting putting social and affordable housing planning applications as a priority, and also making sure that where we have land that are surplus assets, that they're prioritised potentially for social and affordable housing. And I know that the conference that we had roughly this time last year, all councillors were engaged with it, and we got a very positive response from the Chief Executive of the Housing Executive and the Deputy Permanent Secretary at the time. And there were promises made that they would look at potential bespoke solutions for nearly given the size and the scale of the problem we had, and also issues in relation to the topography of Newry in particular, but also across the wider district. And, you know, I would like to see, for example, what were the key issues and priorities discussed in any report coming back from that, and also when they highlight issues like the top issues for noting to get updates on social new build starts, for example. You know, the hand that back to the council, is there an expectation, for example, that Councillor Iran or any other councillor from any other area would have to come back with a detailed report of what was discussed at that meeting? Is that their expectation? Because, you know, the housing crisis is very central to the future of our district, and particularly to our younger generations and our older generations who can't get housing. And I think we need to get more out of this going forward. And perhaps maybe if Councillor Rowan was happy to do that, maybe provide us with some sort of an update in relation to the issues that are pertinent to our district, given the challenges we face. Really, outside of Belfast and Derry, we are the number one area for housing need. And I think that we need to make that a priority going forward. And I know that you'd spent many years yourself on the Housing Council trying to work to get housing developed in our city and district. And I just think that we need to be very vocal and maybe in some way send a message back that we would like to get more detail from the Housing Council on what's discussed and where strategically they're going, and if any of the issues that we have raised, for example, over the last 18 months have been taken seriously and carried forward. Thanks, Chair.
No, I think maybe we should be addressing Kelly Cameron on that issue. You know, put some more meat on the bones. I mean, that wouldn't be done by elected members or members who are on the committee. That's direct from Kelly Cameron's desk, so maybe we could get hold of
meat on the bones.
We can certainly feed that comment back to Kelly Cameron's section.
Well,
is this?
Who?
Oh, sure. No, Chair, you completely moved off neighbourhood service, have you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going up for it.
Well, I'll get you next time.
Be deck. Aunt and deck.
Chair, no, I agree with Michael saying in regards to the chronic housing shortage in the district, nearly one point in Newcastle. Newcastle in their own area. I see it every day, the chronic shortage, the poor housing that people are living in. Young families are living in damp conditions, poor conditions, drafty houses. So it is a serious issue and it does have to be addressed. Also, issues in regards to supporting vulnerable people in our community. A lot of people get tenancies, but they don't have that support around them. They may be coming from addiction centres, they may be coming from hostels, and they don't have that support, joined up support. Now, they talk about floating services, but I think there's a lack of floating services in the Newcastle area. So I would like to see the council writing to the housing executive in regards to that particular issue, that there is vulnerable people and that they're actually then, they get caught up in a cycle of maybe drinking drugs again, and then attract a lot of people into the flats, and then you then end up with then more antisocial behaviour. You end up with tenants who can no longer live in them areas, then they end up homeless again themselves. You know, so it's a serious issue that we need to be looking at. And also the affordable warmth scheme, you know, maybe ask in regards to, is there additional funds going to be made available to affordable warmth scheme? Because it's only touching the surface of that real need. People with heating systems are not functioning. People who have to buy bags of coal to heat their homes, you know, they don't have, you know, good efficient heating systems. And there are things that need to be tackled as well. And I know we're doing some of it, but I just don't believe we're doing enough.
Good point. Right. Okay. On to the next item, which is item 11, Battlefield Tours.
Yeah, Chair, Councillor Owens and Councillor Burgess are the council's representatives on that. So if your proposer and seconder, just to accept their travel for that.
I propose.
Chair, I'll second it. So
I are proposing second it. Yeah. Very good. You want to go through the
rest? Yeah, if I go through the rest, then, sure. So item 12 is the Agenda and I Northern Ireland Housing Conference, and really that's just for a nomination and potentially, and I haven't even spoke to him, but Councillor Rowan from the Housing Council maybe for attendance. Okay, or if anybody else is, does that? Okay. There could be more than one could attend. Yeah. £234 per person, so. Okay. Okay. Item 13, the Apsley Cemeteries and Crematoria Seminar, and I would suggest we don't need attendance at that unless somebody has a real desire to go.
Burning issue.
I missed the turn there, didn't I? Burning.
Yeah. Oh. Remember, I proposed that we investigate the possibility of a crematorium in our area, but that was shot down in flames.
We're really getting them all out. Okay, so our members content then that there's no attendance at that?
No, okay.
Then the APSI Climate Emergency Seminar on item number 14, I believe Councillor Andrews is chairing that. It's a free local event. We would just need the names to book that from any councillors who wish to attend. It's in the Millbrook, and we need them tonight.
Chair, we'll be sending Councillor Curran, Devlin and McAteer.
Curran, Devlin and McAteer.
Laura Devlin, Dara McCurran and Declan McAteer.
And Burgess.
Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong one. Sorry, wrong one.
Climate Emergency Seminar.
It's in the Millbrook on Thursday morning. Follow the hitch.
Councillor Lewis.
Lewis?
Yeah.
So, just sorry, Councillor Byrne, not those names. Okay. any other nominations to attend that climate emergency seminar?
Open house.
Just Councillor Lewis, yeah? And Councillor Andrews speaking, yeah. That's sure. Okay. Then item 15 is the Cross Border Tourism Conference, which is in Carlingford.
That's, sorry.
Councillor McGrew and
Councillor
Murphy, I think. Councillor Declan Murphy.
Kern McAteer.
Councillor McAteer.
And Devlin.
And Terry.
And Terry. Andrews. And Declan Murphy.
When is it?
It's
we get up here now, Henry.
22nd.
April. It's a morning conference. Morning.
Councillor Riley. Okay.
Okay.
Can I just have a proposer and seconder for those items 12 through to 15? Mulgrew and Bracketeer. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Now on to the notices of motion. We have actually five, and the one on dog burning is being referred just between them, being referred to neighbourhood services. Notice of motion on changing place of toilet facilities is being referred to neighbourhood services. The motion on benefit system for terminally ill people is going to have discretion. Number 19, notice of motion on street lighting is for discussion. And item 20, the Dying to Work campaign has been referred to SPNR. So, just go through them all. Those are that have been referred. The proposer has the opportunity to read out what is in front of us here. And if I propose in a second, then we'll move on to the next one. So it's Councillor Brown.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Notice of motion reads as follows. Recognising the extent of dog fouling across the district and the need to consider innovative solutions to tackle this problem, the Council will investigate the viability of using DNA testing to identify offenders and aid enforcement officers in issuing fines, drawing upon best practice from other councils who have introduced this method. It will also roll out an enhanced public awareness campaign of the dangers of dog fouling, including additional signage, and introduce a green dog walkers scheme.
Do we have a second for that? I'll move it on to neighbourhood services. Second for that? Lovely. Next one, changing place of toilet facilities. That's Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Just one wee quick point there. Is it going to ERT or Neighbourhood Services? I was under the impression it was going to ERT.
Sure, it's going to Neighbourhood Services. I think there was just a bit of confusion when we sent out the notification of the committee, so it's Neighbourhood Services.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Thank you, Chair. Notice of motion is follows that this Council will proactively enable changing places toilets within our Council area by committing to include changing places toilets in all new Council buildings and leisure facilities, to review and resource retrofitting of changing places toilets to other public buildings in the next 10 years, will require all applications for new buildings open to the public to install changing places toilets instead of a basic disability toilet, to resource a fund for local businesses and charities to retrofit or install a changing places toilet. Thank you.
Do we have a seconder for that? We'll move on. Seconder. Councillor Brown. On to item number 18, benefit system for terminally ill people. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair, there's one slight amendment that I'd like to add, but I'll read it out. Ewymore and Down District Council write to the Department for Work and Pensions Minister, Justin Tomlinson, MP, and this is where my amendment is, that we write to the Department Communities Minister, Deirdre Harkey, to request that they prioritise the plan review into how the benefit system supports terminally ill people, and that they conclude this review as quickly as possible so that people within the such as motor neuron disease, can access benefits quickly and sensibly. Chair, the reason why I bring this motion to the Council tonight is both the Tory government and the Department of Communities some 6 months ago promised a fresh and honest evaluation of the benefit system and that it would ensure it was more responsive to the needs of patients nearing the end of their life. 6 months is a very long time from a promise, and one of the reports that I have read is sadly 2,000 people have passed away waiting to have those benefits assessments. And obviously with this delay and the red tape around the process, it is causing unnecessary hardship. What is at a especially difficult time for those that are affected, and especially their families. There is obviously a policy there that if a doctor or clinical professional writes that they believe that death can be reasonably expected within the next 6 months, that does fast track, but obviously that doesn't address that some people have motor neuron disease for longer than 6 months and may not pass away, sadly, within those 6 months. So what I would hope is that with writing to the two ministers is that they ensure that they are putting the well-being of those that are preparing for their end of their life due to the terminal illness, and ensuring that they have a smooth and life and no unnecessary difficulties, and that they're able to enjoy their time with their family rather than worrying about financial issues. So, Chair, happy to move the motion.
Terry's
going to
form the second.
Yeah,
thank you very much. And I would like to second the motion. I think it's a very good motion. And myself as a coach, I would do a lot of work with benefits, and especially with PIP. And there have been cases that people who are terminally ill, by the time their application has been lodged, that by the time due process has been done with the department, that people have sadly passed on. And I think realistically, in circumstances like that, there should be a fast-track approach to ensuring that people who are entitled to benefits should get them speedily. But as I say, the motion is explanatory, it covers everything, and I would second the motion that we do proceed to contact the departmental heads to ensure that a speedy implementation is brought in as soon as possible. But thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
William. Chair, thank you very much, and I want to commend Councillor Sarvan for bringing this motion forward in relation to it. Someone who works in a constituency office who has staff in there dealing with issues in relation to benefits and that, it saddens me that people are having to argue for to get the proper benefits. Some of them people, I have to say, that we're working through their cases and that, some of them people are no longer with us because of the time scale of trying to sort some of these benefits out. And I do commend you, Councillor Sarvan, for bringing this forward. Could we also write to our own minister? Because I would be fearful that... Was that the amendment? Right. Because I'm fearful that you do write to the minister in the mainland at Westminster, and they come back and say it's maybe a devolved matter. So, you know, if we do it jointly, and that, because this is something that needs to be done now, not 6 months, not a year down the line, because the hardship out there for some of them families, it's heartbreaking. So it is. I've seen it. Councillor Andrews knows, you know, the work that's done within the area, and that he does it himself, and that, you know, and you know, it would break your heart whenever you see some of the people coming in and you're fighting and you're arguing to try and get them the proper benefits. So we totally support the motion, Councillor Sarvan, and thank you very much for bringing it forward.
David.
Chair, thank you. Could I also thank Councillor Sarvan for bringing forward the motion tonight? It's a very worthy motion of, I think, you know, it's one that we all should support, and certainly the one that our party will be supporting. In my day job, I work as a welfare support officer, and I'm dealing with the benefit system on a daily basis, and I see the difficulties that there are with that system at the best of times. But when somebody's been diagnosed with a terminal illness, it's a very traumatic period for both them and the family, and to have to go through the difficulties that are encountered with the benefit system, that they shouldn't have to do that. And anything that our government can do to make sure that it's a very straightforward and smooth process for them at a time when they have other worries, but that bit of financial support for the remaining days of their lives is vital. We should be able to offer that support to them, and the system as it stands at the minute isn't fit for purpose, and it's clear that this review is needed and needed immediately. So I certainly hope that the ministers, whenever they are corresponded with, they will respond in a positive manner and give us some notification that will happen immediately. But so, thank Councillor Sharvin once again for bringing forward the motion.
You're not.
Thanks. I also would support Councillor Sharpen in this motion. It is very, very important. To put a time limit on things is just far too restrictive, and I do believe that the definition needs to be widened out, especially in context of, for example, people who are suffering from cancer. There's been so many progressions recently with health provision, where people maybe think they only have up to 6 months, but thankfully they're afforded a lot longer, and you know that doesn't take away from the fact that they're still living with a terminal illness. So anything that leaves the burden for these people and their families is only to be welcomed. Thank you.
There's nothing else to say, Chair, and just thank the councillors spoken for their support.
We all agree, councillors? Yes? Good. Happy to move on. The next one is Councillor McKevitt. It's on street lighting. Karen, over to you.
Thanks very much, Chair. Without the motion that this council welcomes the announcement from the Infrastructure Minister that an additional $3 million will be allocated to fixing street lights and filling potholes in our roads. Notes the positive impact that fixing these problems will have on the lives of our ratepayers. Further notes the severe pressure on maintenance budgets, and agrees to write to the Minister for Finance to outline the need for additional resources to tackle these and other pressures that are vital for improving the lives across our communities.
Have we got a seconder for that? Seconder? Then? Not then. You finishing up?
Having the Assembly up and running and having our own ministers will make the difference to everyone. I'm delighted that Nicola Mann has stepped forward by committing 3.5 additional funding to street lighting and filling in a pothole. There isn't one councillor in this chamber that hasn't heard from the roads officials and workers the words limited resources. Time and time again, when looking lights fixed or potholes filled in. And the Department of Infrastructure has been chronically underfunded for the last several years and requires significant investment to allow the Minister to achieve her priorities and make lives better. Two of her priorities are the street lighting and potholes. It takes £3.5 million per year to light up our communities in this region. The budget allocated every year has been only £1 million, and it's no wonder with 12,000 streetlights out. If additional monies was allocated to the department could reinstate the internal contractors that had to be let go because of limited resources, which in turn could give vital support to the 5 full-time staff and 3 part-time staff serving street lighting. The same could be said for our roads network. Going on the figures released by the Minister to an Assembly question asked by Justin McNulty MLA, the compensation claims have rose by 60% in the last 3 years across the region. And in that same time frame, in Murray-Mourne-Down District Council, it has rose by 90% from 226 to 429 claims. Claims between 2016 and 17 and 2018 and 19, there were 10,801. Recorded for this district from the same number were 1,518, making our district the highest across the north. I would say this is due to the state of some of our rural roads because we're mainly a rural district. A study reported recently revealed that the depth of every pothole in Northern Ireland was combined. If it was combined, it would equate to 1,338 metres. That's nearly 8 times the depth of the English Channel. There were also 50,000 complaints made about our roads here in the last 3 years. Here in Uri, Mourne and Down, we acknowledge that there has been a tightening of the purse strings in every department, but the roads network could not and should not be allowed to deteriorate any further. If the Finance Minister allocates an enhanced investment of the money to address these problems, look at the benefits we as a community would see. We as a council spend thousands trying to attract tourists to our district. Let's get together and make change to our infrastructure. Let's help improve all our roads so that the communities right across the region and beyond can enjoy the infrastructure that it deserves. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, look, I just want to thank Councillor
Kevin for bringing this forward. I think that there's not a councillor in this chamber doesn't know how to use the online DFI portal to report these things, because we're always doing it every single day. I'm getting calls about street life and potholes. I think that it is vitally important that there is appropriate resources allocated to making sure that the roads are safe and that the lights are actually working, because people don't understand why they're paying their rates, they're paying into the system, and these basic things aren't being carried out. So we're supporting the motion.
Glenn.
Thanks, Chair. Just I'd welcome this extra money going there. The Minister, to be quite honest, she has recognised there is a huge problem with potholes in this area. Possibly the Mourne area is worse than the South Armagh area. I don't know if Terry Hardy's here or not. But I would say the Mourne's, I know the roads in around my part of the country are dreadful, so they are. Even parts of the main street, Greencastle Street and Kilkeel, to be quite honest with you, you had to be careful if you were pushing a pushchair across it, so I would have a bit of experience with that. But on saying that, on street lighting, I'm looking forward to the rolling out of the LED system, so they're quite honestly, they're far more efficient, so they are. They put a better light out, and they're more resistant to problems. So, in general, I'm delighted to welcome this, and I hope this budget is sustained, and not just a one and a half. Thanks, Chair.
It's
nice to
meet you, isn't it? Michael?
Yes, Chair, I'm going to second the motion, just really to point out that, you know, this is a time with the new decade, new approach document. It's nearly getting to the stage now where we're going to need an appendix to it called Broken Promises, because it appears that a lot of what was agreed by Julian Smith at the time, Boris is rolling back on. But I think it's time that we all come together to assist and equip our finance minister with the tools to go and seek the additional funding that's needed from the Exchequer and the Treasury. I know Conor Murphy was over last week and fought the case in relation to pointing out to be the £600 million black hole just to stand still. And that's down to years of austerity, and none of us who've opposed austerity would agree to that been the case. But just really in relation to it, you know, the infrastructure minister has walked into a very deep and full in-tray down to years of underinvestment and lack of strategic direction in relation to where the department was going and how to deal with the underfunding that it was constantly getting. But what we're hearing constantly across the water, particularly in England, that Boris and the Tory government are emphasising that they're going to build fantastic roads and bridges and everything else and invest in the infrastructure in England as part of the cushion to the post-Brexit Britain. And as far as I'm concerned, it's time to call Boris's bluff on it and make sure that we get a slice of that infrastructure cake here. And maybe by getting that, it would ease pressure in other departments like health and education. At the end of the day, you know, the one area that we can all see are the roads and the street lighting and the lack of investment in our infrastructure. And I think it's time that the executive got together and come up strategically with a bit of joined-up thinking of how we can all apply the pressure on the Exchequer to reinvest in the North here in relation to making up for the 10 to 12 years of austerity. And I think that we would all support the ministers who have very hard briefs in relation to infrastructure, in relation to health, education and, of course, finance, and making sure that we have a joined-up approach to making sure that Boris gets and his cronies get the message that we need investment here, and it's time that they got the wallet out. Yes, Chair.
Thanks, Michael.
Chair, Sinn Féin, I support the motion also. In regards to what Michael said, in regards to austerity for the Tories over this past 10 years, damaging all our public services, not just roads maintenance, I think that has to be recognised. I think we are in a new a beginning in regards to the executive back up and running. I think you will get that cohesion within the executive and everybody working together to look at all the priorities, and it's right across the pressures on the public services. We just hear all the time in regards to the news, public transport, TransLink were saying that they were in real trouble, social housing, about getting increased funding for social housing, health, education, and again, road maintenance and road building.
It's just not about patching or filling in the potholes, because it's an underinvestment, and I've heard this probably since I came into the county near 20 years ago. It's the exact same stuff. The first thing that usually gets cut is in central government is road maintenance. That's one of the low hanging fruit almost. Sinn Féin, we had a meeting with Sam Richardson in the summer, and he was able to say to us, listen, I have a real problem with finding, identifying money for street lighting. And so that was in June that he was saying that, and he also said that the road maintenance budget would be slashed also. So it's just, I need to bring it home to people that it is historically from the Tories over 10 years have cut the money, the budget, and that's where this is at. And then if you don't put the, and DFI will tell you that if you don't put the necessary resources in, the roads continually deteriorate. So I think we have to bear that in mind. In regard to reporting street lighting being off, like all councillors and elected reps, it's over 3 months that I, before Christmas, I put on the NI Direct, I had said that there are not multiple outages on a street, and they still not fixed. There's multiple outages up beside schools, up beside poles, and you know they're not getting repaired. You know, and this is really, really vulnerable people. I just think of Delary Terrace up at the harbour, my own area, where they're all the residents are all pensioners, and then the pothole surface also, a number of them have fallen. And regardless, when you phone up street lighting, there doesn't seem to be taking these issues on board. And I just think it's unacceptable that vulnerable citizens have to live in darkness in their homes, creating that fear of crime, can't come out. And as I say, the pothole surface adds to the dangers that they face. Even lights out on main routes. We had lights out on Newcastle Main Street, right outside our leisure centre. 6 or 7 lights out with heavy volumes of traffic, with heavy volumes of people using our leisure services in general. Young people crossing very busy roads, going to various activities. It's just not acceptable. When you phone that through, that's a main order. You know, they should be repaired as a priority, and that was my understanding, that if there was multiple outages beside public buildings and beside schools and residents' homes in a row, then they would be repaired as a priority. It's just not happening, folks. I welcome the money that has been made available. And like all, as I said, like all the services, there's priorities in every department. Every minister has the same priorities. And it's about divvying up the resources so we deal with the main priorities, and I see road maintenance as one of the main priorities. Indeed, if we look at in regards to potholes, I had my own car damaged and heading up neighbourhood services last week. A massive pothole in the middle near the Cove Bar and outside Mare Bridge, and there was 6 cars that went into the same pothole, and a number of council officials were there as well. So by the end of the night, I think there was 12 cars that actually went in and damaged their cars. I might have to get my car fixed today after that. But I just think it's not just the rural roads. It's the main roads as well. It's the urban centres where the damage has been taken. In regards to, I agree with LED lighting. That does need to be rolled out right across the district. It's a saving of energy also. But it is a better light, so that does need to be rolled out right across the district. And indeed, when the workers come out to repair the street lights, they're actually introducing LED at their locations. And what frustrates residents is there could be a number of outages, but the workers just arrive out and fix one light, and then leave, and then come back maybe 3 months later and fix another light. You know, that is, in my opinion, a waste of money. It's the same as the potholes. You know, they'll come out and fix one pothole, not surface the whole road, which is what they should be doing. They should be doing, you know, a good stretch of road to repair that road instead of allowing a pothole to be worn away again. And so I think, as I say, just finishing, sure, and it's back to the austerity cuts. the finance minister has been over to Westminster, minister to the Treasury. Getting Boris and the Treasury to live up to their deal, what they said they were going to deliver for the people of this part of the island. They did say if the parties could come to an accommodation and agreement, and it was a historic agreement, that the resources would be made available so we could support our public services and our residents. So just leave it there, Chair.
Thank you very much, Willie. All right.
I thank you, Chair, and of course support in the motion that's before us here tonight. But just to say, like as Glenn has raised already, South Armagh has a serious issue with potholes, and it's something we're constantly raising and meeting with road service about. But the issue I have and I raise with them of lately is the quality of the work. It's impossible to catch up on it because the quality of the work they do is unbelievably bad. We had on the B30 last week beside Barra here, and he had raised it like a pothole fixed on a Friday, and on Wednesday the next week was back as bad as ever. We had repairs done on a number of roads after La Halabian in our own area, and where it actually did cut out and repair sections of the road, but never sealed around them. And the edges of that whole work has deteriorated again. You know, and unless it's done properly, you'll never, because, and it's very frustrating because if someone is on to you about a pothole in the road that they hit on that, and you believed after several months that it's fixed. And it's only fixed a short time when you're dealing with the very same issue and the very same road again. So they have to do something about the quality of the work. The quality of the work is terrible. And just today, I've seen them out with the jet patcher again. Like, and they know this time of year that the jet patcher doesn't work. You know, if they may get away with it in the summertime, but they certainly know this time of year when they come out, holes full of water, the jet patcher doesn't work. Yet and all, they'll waste the time and the effort when, if the thing was done right, at least you can say, when that road's repaired, we can move on to the next road, and you're getting somewhere with it. But the mess in the rat at the minute, I don't believe you'll ever get anywhere.
Sorry. William?
Chair, thank you very much, and I'll also be supporting the motion. I think what we need here is we have the southern section and we have the southeastern section. I think we need a bit of joined up thinking here, so we do, in relation to two section offices, because there seems to be two different ways in doing it. And I do sympathise with councillors from the Moors on down in that, because it seems to be up this end it tends work when it's done, 90% of it done properly. And I have to say that, I really have to say that it is done properly. So it is. For example, Councillor Clark alluded to it, that they come out to fix potholes. Now, senior officer told me in relation to it, the way he does it up our area is, if there's an area and there's a dozen potholes, he'll maybe do that 50 metre stretch and clear it out. He says, down the South Armagh area, he says, and down in Uray, he said, if there's a dozen potholes, they'll measure them, and if only five of them meet the criteria, they'll be filled and the other seven left. Now, that's not the way to work. You need a bit of joined up thinking, so you do, in relation to it, so you do. And in relation to the lights, perfect example, I reported two areas that was out in Killalea. They come and they fixed a dozen lights at one end of the road, and there was a video out in the other end. It took 3 weeks for them to come back and fix them. Why not do them all when they were in the town in the one day? You know, you need a bit of joined up thinking here and that. And I think the southern section and the southeastern, the officers from them areas need to come and sit down and work a way out in doing this. Now, first and foremost, we need the funding. We need to get the funding to do it. But if we do get the funding to do it, we need to do it right across this whole area of Uray Mourne and Down. You can't have South Armagh filling half a dozen potholes, and you can't then have up the northern end, you know, doing proper road. Me and Councillor Andrews worked very, very closely together in relation to roads and stuff. And I could take any councillor round the Rowallan area and show you what we have got done with them over the last 2 to 3 years in that there. And to be honest, I have nothing but praise for road service, DFI, up our area, because they seem to be working with us and doing things right. Now, we need to get that followed through down in the Mourns, down through to South Armagh, and that. And I don't have a problem supporting that, because at the end of the day, we're all taxpayers, we're all ratepayers in Uri, Mourne and Down, and we deserve the same.
Thanks very much, Ronnie. Karen?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairperson. And can I just thank all the parties for their support?
Roisin, are you going to finish up there? Roisin, is that going to end?
Okay, that's fine.
Sorry.
Thanks, Karen. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of very valid points made there, and there's no doubt that the Tory austerity has had a huge knock-on impact on our entire community. I think the points of wastage and the way that repairs are done are something that the Minister does need to look at, because I think we have all witnessed teams coming out and filling one pothole and then heading away off, and the next week a team with men and their equipment and all are back again, and you do worry about the amount of wastage that goes on. So I do think that is something that needs to be looked at. Certainly from my own point of view, and the area that I represent, you know, we have had a spate of robberies because of our proximity to the border, and there are huge sections of our villages are constantly in darkness, and there's no doubt that we get a number of calls from older residents in particular who feel particularly vulnerable in their own homes during the winter months. And you have got to feel sorry for them, because no one should feel like a prisoner in their own home, and nobody should feel vulnerable in their own home. And when that is exacerbated by something as simple as a street light, it's totally unacceptable. So I'm glad that the motion has been brought, and I think it is a bigger piece of work where we really need to sit down. It's like the conversation we have in this council chamber year on year about three different departments coming out to cut a piece of grass half the size of that rug, that carpet in there, and the complete and utter waste of money that it is. But certainly anything that will support our rural communities and our older and more vulnerable residents is to be welcomed.
Chair, you're in now?
No. Just very briefly, Chair.
Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, two sentences. Just on what Councillor McGrew had said, and we accept it, you know, the wastage of the resources that are available. I know we're calling for extra resources, but the waste of the resources available is absolutely just something that the Minister needs to deal with. The Sleep Guardian DA meeting, just to touch on what Billy Willie has said, we raised the issue of the service in the Southern District and literally getting the manager or the district manager to come out to a DA meeting, or even return calls or emails to the DA coordinator, was something that was flagged up. So as a party, I have written to the Minister for Infrastructure, Nicola Mallon, on that issue. So we fully accept that with this motion. I know we're calling for extra resources, but we do accept that the wastage needs to be addressed.
Karen.
Next, Chair. Can I thank all the parties for their support on the motion? I suppose when I was jotting down a few notes on what we could touch on and what we could say, there's a couple of sentences in it that I'm proud that I've added to my thoughts on around the motion, and that's, let's get together, make the change to our infrastructure, let's help improve all our roads as the communities right across the region and beyond can enjoy the infrastructure it deserves. And let's hope, I'll add this in the summary, let's hope that if the additional resources come to the Minister for Infrastructure, that the allocation of that meets the passion around this chamber this evening and around the pressures that's faced by the DFA. And thank you.
All agreed then, councillors?
Yep.
That's great, thanks very much. On to the next one, it's the Down to Work campaign. It's been referred to SPNR, and Councillor Burns, in your name, if you don't mind, please read out the motion.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, Chair. The motion states that this council resolves to support the TUC's Down to Work campaign and sign up to its charter, outlining the principles in which terminally ill employees should be treated if they wish to continue work. Ensure that as an employer, our employees will be given the freedom to make an informed decision for themselves as to the best course of action for them and their families. Ensure that all financial details, including debt and service benefits, are fully explained so that any decision taken is an informed decision. Write the principles of the Charter into our procedures and train our staff accordingly, and encourage employers throughout our entire area to sign up to the Charter.
You second. Thanks very much, Gareth. Okay, that's it. Councillors, I think, thanks very much for that. Keep out of the potholes.